This morning I'm going to be talking about three trees that are mentioned in the Bible. Three trees that can represent different stages, different aspects in our Christian lives. The first tree is in Genesis. It's not the two main trees that are in Genesis, the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good or evil. That would be too easy. This tree is a little less well known, but still serves an important purpose. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. So when the woman saw that the tree, saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and had a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So actually it's plural trees, but Adam and Eve hid behind trees from God. Have you ever tried to hide behind a tree when you were younger playing hide and seek? Have you ever tried to hide behind a tree? It's probably one of the worst places to hide when playing hide-and-seek. Because trees are round, usually not very wide, so all the seeker has to do is move a little bit and you're seen, part of you is seen. It's not going to cover you completely, unless it's one of those giant redwoods out in California that are massive. So a tree is not the best thing to hide behind, but that was probably all Adam and Eve had available. They probably didn't have a whole lot to hide behind. So even if God couldn't really see Adam and Eve wherever they were, it didn't matter where they hid, God would have found them anywhere. But even if he was physically on the ground, physically looking through eyes, he still would have been able to see them, most likely. You couldn't, it's very hard to hide completely behind a tree. But God played along with them for a little bit. In verse 9, he says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" This does sound like a game of hide and seek a little bit. "I'm coming to see, find you. Where are you?" But God, of course, knew where Adam was. But he wanted Adam to tell him. But Adam is behind this tree. He's hiding. But he says in verse 10, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden." Was this the first time that Adam had heard God's voice? No. God talked to Adam. We're told that he talked to Adam when he told him not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm sure that God talked to Adam when he had him name all the animals. He brought all the animals to him to have Adam name them. I'm sure God talked to him then. I'm sure as they walked through the garden, I'm sure they talked a lot. We don't have a scripture that says that, but there's a song that says it, which obviously isn't scripture, but I'm sure they talked. Adam knew God's voice. And when he used to hear it, before the eating of the fruit, imagine the feelings he had then. It brought him joy, I'm sure, to hear God's voice. But now he heard God's voice, and he was afraid. He was afraid to face God because he knew that he did something wrong. He was ashamed of his sin, and he tried to hide. Hiding behind a tree. It's not very effective, especially with God. But Adam was desperate because he was afraid. There are times in all of our lives when we are ashamed of something that we've done wrong. There are times when we don't follow God's instructions and we feel bad about it. But yet we hear his voice in the back of our minds. And are we afraid? Are we afraid to face God then? Because we're afraid to hear him scold us. So afraid that we try to hide behind a tree. We know we physically can't hide from God. We know this. And we don't obviously physically hide behind a tree like Adam and Eve did. But we can hide from God spiritually. We can try to distance ourselves from him spiritually. We can try to keep ourselves away from him by not praying to him, by not talking to him, ignoring him. In our minds, we can hear him saying, "Where are you?" But we're ashamed. And we don't want to admit that we did wrong, so we ignore him. Imagine a child hiding from their parents because they did something bad. So they hide. Does that ever work? Do they ever stay hidden forever? No, of course not. The child usually comes out of hiding on their own. Then they get their punishment, they get forgiven, and they're loved. God still loved Adam and Eve after they sinned. He loved Adam and Eve after they were punished and banished from the Garden of Eden. He still loved them. So when we're ashamed and afraid to hear God's voice and hide, we need to come out behind the tree and then come back to him. Face the punishment. Because facing the punishment now is a lot better than facing the punishment later. Face the punishment now and come back to God. I'm using this verse a couple times today. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to draw near to him so he will draw near to us. If we stay hidden and stay away from him spiritually, he is going to stay away from us spiritually. But there can be more trees in our lives that we hide behind than just the one between us and God. Sometimes we hide behind trees in order to hide from other people, other Christians. We hide certain parts of ourselves from other people. So they don't really see us, don't really see all of us. We don't need to tell everybody everything about ourselves, but there are certain, maybe there's something in your life that you're hiding that you shouldn't be hiding that you need to tell others about. And even scarier is the tree that we hide behind from ourselves. Sometimes we can even hide things from ourselves, things that we don't want ourselves to know, that we don't want to admit to ourselves. We can hide things from ourselves that we're ashamed of, that we just would rather ignore about ourselves rather than come out behind the tree and face up to them. The first step to improving ourselves is to admitting to ourselves that something needs to be fixed. If we keep ignoring the problem in our lives, if we hide from it, it can't be fixed. We need to cut down those trees so that we can't hide behind them. Next tree I'll be talking about is in John chapter 1. This is a type of tree that's mentioned quite often, but I didn't really remember this particular tree. John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. This is when Jesus is calling his disciples. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So the tree here is a fig tree. But to start, I'm going to first start talking about Nathanael. Nathanael isn't mentioned too often by that name. He's mentioned later in chapter 21, but not in any of the other Gospels. Many believe that Bartholomew, who is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the same person as Nathanael here in John. In all accounts, he is mentioned alongside Philip, so it stands to reason. It's a good argument for it. So Nathanael's Bartholomew, most likely in the other Gospels. But this is showing that Philip and Nathanael had spent some time in the Scripture, because Philip says that we found him, of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. So they knew of who they were looking for, of who their Messiah was supposed to be. And even Nathanael, though he was skeptical at first, he knew enough to say that Jesus of what good can come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? A little prejudice there, and skeptical. But again, it shows that he wasn't unlearned. He knew enough. But Philip, rather than arguing with him, just said, "Just come and see," and took him to Jesus. And when Jesus first saw Nathanael, he said, Behold, an Israelite in whom is no deceit. More modern translation could be, Here is a man who is completely transparent, sincere, and honest. Wouldn't that be incredible to have Jesus say that about you? That you are transparent, sincere, and honest. Jesus is seemingly saying that Nathanael isn't hiding anything. Again, that goes back to the first tree. He's honest and sincere. He's not hiding a part of himself behind a tree. And Jesus is realizing that. So now Nathanael wants to know how Jesus knew about him. And Jesus said that he saw Nathanael before Philip came to him sitting under a fig tree. What is the importance of a fig tree? Obviously, we have other stories, Jesus cursing the fig tree. Adam and Eve covered themselves with leaves from a fig tree. In the Old Testament, a fig tree is often used in reference to a safe place or a place of leisure. In Micah 4:4, it says, But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Zechariah 3:10. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. During biblical times, the fig tree represented prosperity and security for the Jewish people. It is said that a little nap under the fig tree promised the ultimate experience of peace. Commentary I was looking at said this was kind of like resting in your favorite hammock outside on a carefree sunny afternoon. Very peaceful. It was also said that it's a common place of prayer, study, and meditation. So under this fig tree, Nathanael may have been praying, may have been studying or meditating. This is a common practice to do under a fig tree. Many resources I was looking at believe that Nathaniel may have been looking into the scripture that Jesus refers to in the next couple verses, where Jesus says, "The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This scripture comes from Genesis chapter 28. It's the story of Jacob and his dream, the dream of the ladder going up to heaven and angels ascending and descending the ladder up to heaven. So it's, it'd be one thing for someone to know that you were sitting under a fig tree a little bit ago, and then not only know that, but also know exactly what you were studying. That would be incredible. And of course, Jesus could know that. But unlike the first tree I talked about, a tree that we don't want to have in our lives, a tree to hide behind, this is a tree that we should want to have in our life. A tree like Nathaniel's fig tree. A tree where we can be at peace, where we can pray and study and meditate. A tree where we can get away from our cares and worries, even if just for a short time, and focus on God, praying to Him, studying His Word, and meditating. A place of peace. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, talks about praying. It's Jesus saying, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So obviously we don't need to do this under an actual fig tree or even an actual tree. We can find a place, any place, that we can put all the other cares away, again, just for a short amount of time even, and or a long period of time if you can, and just focus on Him, praying to Him, studying about Him. We need to find a tree, so to speak, that we can pray and study under. The final tree this morning comes from a story, a very familiar story, so it's a very familiar tree. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, starting in verse 1. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" The story of Zacchaeus is a very familiar story, even to children. And this tree, the sycamore tree, is familiar as well. But just as kind of a recap here, Zacchaeus was, of course, a tad short. Couldn't see over the crowd of people. But why was he wanting to see over the crowd of people? He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. It says, "And he sought to see who Jesus was." He sought to see who Jesus was. He was trying to seek him out. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't, so he had to find a way. So he climbed a tree. Zacchaeus climbed a tree in order to find Jesus. He was seeking Jesus, looking for Jesus. He did whatever he could to find Jesus. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I like that last one. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Zacchaeus was very diligent. He could have tried to jump up over the crowd to see him. He could have found a rock, a box of something, a crate, a barrel, something in order to see up over the crowd. He found a tree. It's been a long time since I've climbed a tree, but they're not the easiest things, depending on the tree, depending on where the branches are. But still, he diligently sought Jesus. I'm sure there were easier ways. Could have been easier ways, or he could have just given up. I'm not going to be able to see him. I'll just give up. He diligently sought to see Jesus. If Jesus is too far away in your life, if we're, again, going back to the first tree, if we've pushed him away, if he's at a distance, we need to get closer to him. And again, this is the verse I used earlier, James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Zacchaeus could have gone to, like, a ways away on the top of a house, maybe, that was a block or so away. That would have been further away from Jesus. Yeah, he might have seen him as a little speck out there in the distance, but he wanted to be close to him as well. He wanted to draw near to him and still see him. We need to make sure that we can see Jesus in our lives at all times. If we can't see him, we need to climb a tree of our own and look for him. Seek him out so we can get closer to him. Did Zacchaeus stay up in that sycamore tree? No. He eventually came down. And once he had found Jesus and Jesus saw him, Zacchaeus came down from the tree. But why? Look at 5 and 6 again. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. So Zacchaeus looked for Jesus. Now Jesus is looking for Zacchaeus. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus said to come down. So Zacchaeus came down from the tree and followed Jesus. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. Matthew 4:18-22. Again, calling other disciples. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, son James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When we are up in our tree and looking out for Jesus, and we see him, and he finds us, and then he sees us, we need to follow him. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when Jesus calls for us, when we have found him talking to us from studying under our fig tree, when we have understood what his instructions are, his commands are, we need to follow them and listen to them. We need to do what he tells us to do. Our Christian life is a progression. We're constantly growing like a tree. Never are we considered full grown, because improvements can always be made somewhere in our lives. In our lives, we're always going to find ourselves at certain times hiding behind a tree because we're ashamed. When we find ourselves behind that tree, we need to come out behind it and fess up, because Jesus knows, or God knows anyway. We need to find our own fig tree, a place of peace, security, where we can pray to God, study His Word, and meditate. And once we know about Him, we need to find Him. We need to seek Him in our lives. Look for things in our lives that point Him out to us. Something that makes it obvious that He is with us. And climb a tree so we can see over the distracting things. This world is very distracting. We need to see over the distractions, so to speak, in order we can focus on Him and see Him. And finally, we need to do what He says. When the people who were present at Peter's speech at the day of Pentecost, when they were asking him what they needed to do, because they felt sorry for now putting Jesus to death, Peter answered them. This is Acts 2:38. It says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Thousands of people followed those instructions. And if you are needing to follow those instructions today, you are invited to do so as we stand and sing.